The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, hello, America. Testing. Is the microphone on? Testing. Hello. Oh, yes, the microphone is on. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Folks, I don't know what the term is. What is the proper term here? I'm a little frisky today. Maybe frisky is not the right word. I'm in a good mood, which is great. I was in a little bit of a foul mood yesterday, Grace Baker. I don't know if you picked up on that. I mean, you have to be in a bad mood when you're talking to the, preparing the callers to come
on
the air.
Well, this is true. But yeah, everybody knew you were in a bad mood yesterday.
I was just in a foul mood. I don't know why. You know, it was Monday.
And I just figured it was Monday.
Yeah, it was Monday.
But today is Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. And I've got to tell you, Grace, there's a lot of crazy stuff out there, but I got to talk to you about something that you sent me. I come into the studio, and every morning you prepare a stack of stuff so that I have something to talk about on this radio program. And at the very top of the stack of stuff, I'm looking at what I thought was a man. A man who had effeminate features, a man who had a unibrow, which is basically one eyebrow, right? Is that the proper terminology?
Just think Anthony Davis in the NBA, yes.
One eyebrow that goes from eyeball to eyeball.
It's a bridge. It's connected.
So, and then there's a faint mustache. So I thought, well, maybe this is like a 14 or a 15-year-old,
sure.
That's still trying to grow that first, bit of facial hair.
He needs to pluck his eyebrows,
And then I realize that this is not a man, this is not a man-child, but this is, in fact, a woman.
Correct.
A woman with a mustache and a unibrow. And this woman is none other than the stepdaughter of the vice president of these great United States.
Yep.
And her name is Ella Imhoff, and she was at the Met Gala last night, which was a big shindig in New York City. Metropolitan Museum of Art, Grace Baker. And you have to have a lot of money to get into this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of
pricey.
The cocktail weenies will set you back a couple of paychecks.
Oof.
I'm just telling you. So anyway, the way this works, and this is sort of a weird way to start the show because we got to get to the California election stuff, but we got to talk about this for a moment. So the Met Gala, it's the hottest ticket in town, $35,000 for a ticket, over $200,000 if you're going to do a full like table. And you get dressed up to the nines, so everybody's wearing some sort of a crazy getup, and you walk the red carpet. It's the hottest ticket in town. And I noticed something, Grace. The only people wearing face masks were the help, the servants.
Yeah, I noticed that. Gosh.
Yeah, the people that were there to serve you, that were there to guide you to your table, were there to wait on you, they had to mask up. But the celebrities, they were mask-free. And I realized something, Grace. That apparently, and I don't know how this, maybe we could get Dr. Fauci on the show, St. Fauci himself. Maybe St. Fauci can come on and he can explain, but for some reason, and I don't know if this is like a miracle. I'm a Baptist, so I don't, I'm not like, into the supernatural stuff, but I mean, it could be that there's something supernatural or mystical about the Met Gala and those DNC fundraisers at the French Laundry and Lollapalooza. And Barack Hussein Obama's birthday party, where those are COVID-free zones.
I know.
So you don't get, you can go to those events, but you come away without the China virus.
It's magical.
However, if you go to a college football game or a Trump rally or Sunday school, then all of a sudden you have become a super spreader.
Must be the word COVID likes to go.
God, it's very strange. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out a nice way to say this, because right now somebody is having lunch. They're eating their bologna sandwich on Wonder Bread with maybe a little dab, a little smear of the mayonnaise. And they're listening to this radio program, being educated, learning. They are right now through the radio, osmosis is happening. And I don't really want to upset anyone's appetite, but this is what it is. And Grace, you're the female voice on the Todd Stearns. You speak for the women of America.
I try.
Am I allowed to describe what Miss Unibrow was wearing?
I will give you permission, but I might need to help you navigate this situation. So go for it.
All right. So here's the deal. Kamala Harris's daughter was wearing a dress that celebrated a woman's lady time. Is that appropriate?
That's worse, Todd.
why is it worse?
I don't know. None of it's good.
Well, no, it's all horrible. I thought that was the better way.
That time of the month.
The lady time.
Oh, the late.
So it was, no, the dress channeled her menstrual cycle. Now, I have a couple of questions about this, Grace Baker. Is that something that you just go into, like, Forever 21 and say, what are you looking for? And they're just going to pull that off the rack?
Yeah, no, normally, you know, I go in somewhere like that and I'm looking for, like, I don't know, maybe my favorite band or something to have on my T-shirt, not
Lady blood. Time? Yeah, you don't want the, yeah, you don't.
No.
Want anything. All right, I was just curious about
No,
that.
Trust me, that's not normal.
Well, say what you will, but is that like a new thing, though, with the unibrow? Is that like a new, is that like the latest trend for women not to, you know,
well, here's my theory. First of all, some women are just lazy, and there's that. But secondly, I think that she doesn't have, you know, you said how expensive the tickets were. Maybe she spent all her money on the ticket, and then, you know, Todd, she just didn't have enough money to go get her brows done, because it's not cheap.
Really? Because I'm serious here. I mean, a Lady Bic is what? How much? A couple of bucks?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very off-putting.
And it's not even like a dress. Like, she's got, like, it looks like it's a pantsuit type deal. It's like balloon pants. I mean, I get you want to be comfortable, but geez Louise.
Yeah, it's very sickening.
And she's not an unattractive person. Like, she's very, like, you know, she's fine, right? But then this.
I mean, can you imagine she's going up to somebody and everybody's, and you know how these things are. It doesn't matter if you're going to the office Christmas party or you're going to the Met Gala. Two things are happening. They're going for the free booze and then they're going for the shrimp, right? I mean, everybody goes for the shrimp.
The shrimp's the best.
And they got the shrimp cocktail. And can you imagine, though, you're about ready to eat your shrimp and she taps you on the shoulder and you turn around and you look at the dress and you just completely lose your shrimp.
Yeah, that's not cocktail sauce. Sorry.
Meanwhile, oh my God. Why did you go there, Grace Baker?
I'm sorry you brought up shrimp, and then I think of that cocktail sauce. You got to have the cocktail sauce with the shrimp.
Stop. But, well, anyway, so look, AOC. So while all that's going on, AOC comes in. And she's like Miss Socialist USA.
Oh, yeah.
And she's wearing this, it's called Stop the, or Tax the Rich.
Yeah, it's like a white dress with Tax the Rich on the train.
No, it was on the train. Well, it was on her buttocks. I mean, it was like the RI was on one butt cheek and the CH was on the other butt cheek. And here's the thing. She was photographed. Someone sent me a copy of the photograph. And all I could see was it was Tax the ICH. And I'm like, wait, what? What's going on here?
Well, I think she borrowed some of the cocktail sauce because it's smeared across there.
No, no, no. It looked like a Chick-fil-A bag.
Oh, yeah.
That looked
It
looked just like the font of a Chick-fil-A bag.
Oh, gosh. Now, like here's cows, right?
So here's what I want to know. Here's what I want to know, Grace. A member of Congress makes $174,000 a year. How is it that AOC was able to afford a $35,000 ticket? And you know the dress had to have cost, a couple of thousand dollars?
More than that. I guarantee you,
okay,
more than that.
$5,000-$10,000.
Then you got makeup and hair.
And you got the shoes.
And jewelry.
And the handbag.
Of course.
And the attitude. and that clearly they spent a lot with makeup and hair. A lot of money was spent getting her into that getup.
Of course.
And I'd like to know how she was able to afford that.
I know. What about her poor grandmother? Do you remember that?
That's right. Is she down in Puerto Rico or wherever?
She needed money.
Yeah, send grandma the dress.
I know. She
or the
could
handbags.
Use it. I was going to say, I bet she could put better use to it.
Clearly.
Use the fabric.
Anyway, all I can say is hashtag Lady Bic, and that goes a long way. So look, we've got a great show for you, folks. And I think what happened yesterday at the Met is a great example of rules for thee, not for me. You've got all of these people walking the red carpet. All of these people walking the red carpet. And you know what they're doing? They're not wearing the face masks. They're out there lecturing you and me about how we live our lives. And when the cameras are turned off, they're out there living their lives freely. And that's not right. That is not right. We got a big story to share with you. And some new information about hospitals that are literally telling their public relations departments to hype the virus because they want people to get the vaccine. Now, this story is in from the world of college sports. The Navy football team firing its coach, one of its coaches, Billy Ray Stutzman. He was fired after he refused to get the vaccine. He put in for a religious exemption, and they denied the religious exemption. Stutzman served as the the assistant coach for the offensive line. I think they were 0-2, so that probably factored into it as well. But the big problem was that he did not want to get that vaccine, and so they fired him. Mr. Stutzman, writing on Twitter, based on my religious convictions and after much thought and prayer, I am unable to follow the requirements of the Naval Academy's COVID-19 policy as it had changed these last few months. After applying for a religious exemption and attempting to further negotiate alternative working arrangements, I was ultimately relieved of my duties at Navy. I continue to stand firm in my conviction of faith, but I understand and respect that each individual and institution has a choice on how they wish to manage these issues. All of us are going to have a decision to make. Just before I came on this radio program, I was speaking with a colleague, a friend who works for one of the major national radio networks. In other words, this is a corporation that owns many, many networks. This is, in fact, Cumulus, the Cumulus radio stations, and they have many radio stations around the country. They have ordered all of their employees to get the China virus vaccine. And if they do not, they will lose their jobs. It's that simple. And I was speaking to an individual who runs a radio station that's part of the Cumulus family. And this individual told me that they're losing a good many of their staff members who are choosing just to leave their jobs, to walk away. Now, folks, I want you to hear me and my fellow radio hosts out there who are contemplating this, because I know several radio hosts that are about to lose their jobs. They've been told you either get the vaccine or you're going to be out of a job. So here's my recommendation. Don't resign. Do not resign. Make them fire you. That way you could get your unemployment benefits, but you also have standing to sue. Because when I share with you the information that I'm about to share after this break, you're going to pause for a moment and ask yourself this question. What's really going on? What is this really all about? Because it's not about the China virus. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number, folks. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
Let's Listen up, Patriots. One of the most radical plans to reshape the future of America is happening right now, and we need to stop it. President Biden's plan to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in April, the president launched a special judicial commission to reform the court. But the real plan is to install four more liberal justices to gain an automatic majority and ensure favorable rulings for his radical policies. And once the court is packed, it will end the rule of law as we know it, which is exactly what happened in Venezuela and Argentina. Let's be clear, America is not a banana republic. Thankfully, First Liberty Institute is taking a stand. They've issued a letter to the commission asking them to reject this radical court-packing scheme, and they're not alone. Franklin Graham, Ed Meese, James Dobson, Tony Perkins, plus 60,000 others have joined their coalition. But we need 1 million, so add your name now. Go to SupremeCoup.com to sign First Liberty's letter. That's SupremeCoup.com. God bless America.
All right. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, Californians, go vote today. Vote like your state depends on it, because it does. And we're going to get to more of that. The recall election underway right now in the state of California. We're going to be talking to some folks who say they have experienced voter fraud. That's coming up a little bit later in the show. I want to go to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Mike in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on Nuga Radio. Mike, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. I'll be quick because I know you're pressed for time. 200 nurses being threatened with losing their jobs at Memorial Hospital. Hero nurses because refusing to take the jab. I tell lawyers I don't practice law. I know the law. I've been studying it for 50 years. But I'm going to give you my opinion, no advice. I'm going to tell people, shut up. Shut up. Don't ask for permission at all. And go to work like you normally would. And if they threaten to fire you because you don't present them with something that's medical on your behalf, question them. That's when you don't shut up. Well, why would you want to know that I take this vaccine or that vaccine? Do you want to know if I take Viagra or aspirin? Why do you want to know? Remember, these are corporations, and even though they say Tennessee is an at-will state, it is not. Corporations are creatures of the state, especially 501c3, tax-exempt. Let them fire you, then sue them yourself. Don't use a lawyer. It's not hard to sue someone. File a multi-million dollar suit against the entity and every individual involved in the action for unlawful termination.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I don't understand. You know, all these nurses in New York State at this one hospital, they quit. Don't quit. Make them fire you. Got to do that.
Shut. Yes, when they say, did you get the vaccine? What vaccine? What are you talking about? I don't talk to you. Give it to me in writing. And when they give it to you in writing, you say, vaccine, what vaccine? What? Why do I have to take a vaccine? And then when they don't put you on the schedule, it's unlawful termination. You sue that individual, go after them and the entity for millions of dollars, millions. And let me tell you something. When they see that individual at their front door with that lawsuit in their hands, handing it to them, they're going to back down.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And Mike, we keep pounding that message on this radio program. And by the way, Mike, this is going to impact a lot of radio people. Cumulus Radio, they employ thousands of people around the country. Mike, I can't tell you how many people I've heard from who are leaving Cumulus because of the mandatory vaccine policy. I say, do not quit your job.
Cumulus is part of the system. See, the occupiers understand that they want your time, your money, and your obedience. They would love nothing better, Todd, than, and I said this years ago, with the environment, driving by in their Cadillac or their Eldorado, putting the window down and patting you on the head for saving the environment while you're on your bicycle. These are elitists. They're bureaucrats. They think they're better than everyone else.
Mike could not have said it better. You know how this goes. We're up against a hard break here. Thanks for calling in and checking in. Good to hear from you. We've got Dave in Salem, Oregon. We've got Jason in Virginia. You folks, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls as well. 844-747-8868. We have some incredible undercover audio that you are just not going to believe. Doctors telling PR firms to hype up the vaccine. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Parents, have you been as frustrated as I have with the messages our kids are being taught today in schools and the media? Cancel culture, wokeism, victimhood, socialism, lots of bad ideas are bombarding our kids. And if you're like me, you've struggled to figure out how to teach your kids about good ideas like free markets, personal freedom, entrepreneurship. That's why I'm so glad I've come across the Tuttle Twins books. These children's books help parents teach their kids conservative ideas. What's amazing is they've sold over 2.5 million books, so clearly they work. Kids love them, and parents love that their kids are learning the ideas of freedom. I talked the Tuttle Twins team into doing a special deal for my listeners. All you need to do is go to TuttleTwins.com and use the coupon code STARNS. They're going to give you 40% off the kids' books and also include all their activity workbooks for free. That's a huge deal. So if you've got kids and you want to make sure they're not brainwashed with bad ideas, then do your family a favor and get the Tuttle Twins books. Again, TuttleTwins.com and use the coupon code STARNS for 40% off. All right, folks, get out there, vote today if you are in California. And if you were at that big Biden rally last night, which was not very large, Joe Biden went out and campaigned for Gavin Newsom. If you were at that rally, you might want to run over to, do they have like some sort of a clinic, some sort of a fast clinic you can run into just to get a China virus test? And I say that because Joe Biden was literally coughing up body parts yesterday at this rally. Take a listen. Cut 11.
Meanwhile, we see something else in parts of America. Right now, there are certain Republican governors, like the governor of Mississippi, who are talking to me about being dictatorial, about demanding that people get vaccinated or tested. People are doing everything they can to block or undermine the life-saving mandates we proposed, putting their people at risk, putting their children at risk, putting their states at risk. And here's the worst thing. For these Republican governors, it isn't about public health, about the health of the people. It's about politics. Look, folks, just look at the hypocrisy. The same governors who are attacking me and your governor for COVID-19 mandates are in a state with some of the strictest vaccine mandates for children attending school in the whole country. Talk about inconsistency. In Mississippi, children are required to be vaccinated against measles.
Okay, enough of that, or I'm going to go get a China virus test. Jeez, hello. So anyway, Biden's out there and campaign. This is how bad it is. They've got to send Harris and Biden out there to campaign for the guy. But folks, I'm telling you, there are reports of all kinds of voter shenanigans going on. And I'm... Well, is it gonna matter at the end of the day? The reality is that Republicans are what, 20% of the voting population. So if every Republican gets out to vote, every single one, 100% of them, they could still lose. I mean, it's that bad of a situation. And so the question is the average Californian, is their life so miserable under Gavin Newsom that they would be willing to get up and go and vote today to get him booted out of office? That's what this is really all about. That and the, and God love him, I don't know what's going on down there at the California Republican Party headquarters, but those people are morons, just flat out morons. Not a single, And a lot of people don't realize this. There's not a single elected Republican to high office in California. Not a one. Not a one. And that tells me the Republicans have a messaging problem in California. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Dave, Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I listened to your little question on the, was it the deal at the Met? And you were asking why the elites didn't seem to need masks, but all the help did. And it just made me think maybe they know that the coronavirus doesn't really like them, and so they don't have to worry about catching it. But the COVID virus might be one of the, you know, just likes hanging out with the commoners. So,
I guess so. I mean, would you rather hang out with AOC for the night, or would you rather hang out at a Trump rally? I mean, you're going to have more fun at the Trump rally.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of what I was going with.
Okay, so, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's
really scientific, but, you know, it might be worth a study or two.
So you're saying, Dave, that the China virus is more Pabst Blue Ribbon than it is Pinot Noir, is what you're saying?
That's a possibility.
So to speak.
You know?
All right.
Maybe CDC can get on that. I don't know.
we'll see if they can't commission a study, Dave.
Anyway, right. Hey, good for fun anyway.
It is. Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Wow. So look, a group of doctors in North Carolina, there's a group called the Novant Health Regional Hospital, and a group of doctors got together, and they met with the marketing director of the hospital chain, and they said, hey, look, here's the deal. We've got to put the fear of God in people. We've got to make them so terrified that they're going to bring the wife, the kids, everybody, the whole family, grandma, grandpa, they're going to come down to the hospital and demand to get the vaccine. We've got to put the fear of God in these people. That's what we've got to do. Now, we've got the audio here to back this. It's unbelievable, but you need to understand what's happening. Cut number 17.
The dashboard and how it's set up myself, as far as how we get information out to the community on meaningful numbers, we do that on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths. And the numbers. So those are numbers that we put out, as far as we don't get into details of floor or
right.
Those other numbers are certainly out there.
Right. I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public. Then there's another comment, as I completely agree, there are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
So is that all the people who have been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID?
Well, or that are still in it, and that's something that I can take to someone else, but I think those are important numbers. The patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but still are occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
Carolyn, we call those, I'm sorry, we're calling those recovered now. If you look at the Novant Health dashboard, they're listed as recovered.
Survivors.
But I do think it, from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still healing.
Yeah. So I think that needs to be highlighted as well.
Yeah.
Because once they're off isolation, they drop from the COVID numbers. That's exactly right.
Kellen, we can talk offline and
how
we run that up to marketing. And
all right. So I'm just going to say, Kellen, I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. You know, you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. I mean, let's just be really blunt to these people.
Let's be really blunt with these people. I don't know who recorded this audio, but they have done the nation a great service. And you folks in North Carolina listening, that maybe you have a loved one that's being treated at Novant Regional hospital, you need to be aware of what they're doing here. This is happening in hospitals all over America. I have no doubt about that. No doubt at all. These people have manufactured a crisis. There is a report out of the Atlantic magazine, a far-left publication. And not a big fan of the Atlantic, but they actually did a little bit of journalism yesterday. And I want to read the headline to this story in the Atlantic magazine, theatlantic.com, written by David Zweig. Our most reliable pandemic number is losing meaning. Here's the subheading. A new study suggests almost half of those hospitalized with COVID have mild or asymptomatic cases. In other words, they're trying to convince you that we are worse off now than we have ever been in the history of the pandemic, when in fact we are absolutely not. Now, what the Atlantic does not go into is the broader question: how many of those people may actually have pneumonia or the flu? And I suspect when you factor those numbers in, the numbers will plummet. But what we now know through the reporting of the left-wing Atlantic magazine is that almost half of the people hospitalized with COVID either have a mild or asymptomatic case. In other words, this is not a big deal. These people are recovering. They're going home. They're going on to live with their lives. But why is it, Todd, why is it that when you turn on the TV, that's all you hear about it, all these people dropping dead? It's because of what's happening in North Carolina. They're creating a fake narrative, and by and large, most Americans are buying into this. There is a new survey out from one poll. A new survey shows 14% of vaxxed Americans have literally dumped their friends over their vaccine status. And I'm wondering if that's you. Have you lost friends? Have you lost loved ones? Have you just said, you know what, they're shutting you off because you're not getting the vaccine? Have you had people that you go to church with that will no longer associate with you or fellowship with you because you've decided not to get the vaccine? I've noticed something, and this is just my impression as I've been casually observing those around me and here in the Memphis area. And I've noticed, by and large, that the pro-vaccine crowd is very judgmental. The pro-vaccine crowd wants to tell you how to live your life, and then they look down on you if you don't do as they say. On the other side, I've noticed that the people who have chosen not to get the vaccination are more accepting and more tolerant and more open of your personal beliefs and your system. In other words, it's your decision to make. But I am curious if you've been in a situation where you've had a friend who has dumped you, or you've had a loved one in your family that won't come to Thanksgiving supper this year because you do not have the vaccine. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. It's been a while. Miss Janice in New Orleans, what's on your mind?
Okay. You know I love you, Todd. I truly do. But on this, we disagree. At Thanksgiving this year, there are going to be many tables that are going to be empty. Now, there was a woman, an elderly woman. She had her vaccine. She lost her two sons. One was, I think, 31 years old, and the other was 40, 42 or something like that, in his 40s. And then there was a man. He lost his mother, his father, and his brother. And last night I saw where this woman, her mother had it and went in the hospital, but now the mother lost her husband. She's a widow, and she lost her son. So she's got her daughter. Whole families are being wiped out. Now, I totally
no,
get
no,
it.
No, they're not, Janice. No, they're not,
yes,
Janice,
they
and
are.
There's not evidence to
yes,
back that
are.
Up. Now,
yes,
I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, Janice.
Yes, they are.
What do you say to this? What do you say to this report? And you just heard the audio. You were listening to the radio station. You heard this report from North Carolina where the doctors are telling the marketing team to terrify people like yourself. And you're getting the vaccine not because you need the vaccine, but because you've been terrified. You've been brainwashed and coerced into getting the vaccine.
Now, let me put it to you this way. What they're doing there is wrong. I am not in agreement with anybody telling anybody something like that. But I do feel that this virus does not know age, gender, or anything else, and it can strike anyone. So those people who can get the vaccine should get the vaccine. If you have any doubts, speak to your doctor. And see, because I do know that there are some people that have certain conditions.
Now, Janice, I know you're
shouldn't get it.
Look, I know you're a caring person, Janice.
Yes, I am.
But what?
I'm a person who uses common sense.
Okay, well, fine. So, Janice, I just want to take this to the extreme here. Let's just say that you had a bunch of people in Israel that listened to what you just said, and they went out there and based on your comments, went out there and got the vaccine, and their children got the vaccine. There's a study that just came out yesterday. 20% of children in Israel, 20% of the children in Israel who got the vaccine are now suffering severe side effects. Now,
okay,
Miss Janice, would you feel responsible for that? I mean, you had perfectly healthy children, and now all of a sudden these children are deathly sick and ill because they got the vaccine.
There are many. I just saw the other night a woman, her 16-year-old athletic son, he's a football player in high school. He's on a ventilator. He could die. Look, this sounds like, you know, life, you know, is a little chancy, but I would rather err on the side of caution than not get the vaccine.
Well, yes, who's to say erring on the side of caution is not getting the vaccine? Look, Janice, we've literally got to run here. I appreciate you calling, and I think you've made your point. Folks, got to take a quick break. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS.
Folks, our good friend Mike Lindell, man, he is a fierce American patriot fighting the good fight for all of us, and he is a great supporter of this program. Mike has some great deals on his all-new Giza Dream Bed Sheets just for our audience. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. These Giza sheets are incredibly comfortable. And Mike is going to provide them to you 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, $49.99. They make a wonderful Christmas present. Go to MyPillow.com, and when you click on the radio listener square, use my last name as the promo code STARNS. Mike's going to hook you up with some other deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Again, MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS. All right, let's get back to the phones. Mary in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Mary. What's on your mind today?
I was just calling to say I have a friend that will no longer go out to lunch with me or meet with me anymore because I did not get the jab. As we know, it's not a vaccine, but I did not get the jab. And so in her message to me, she said, well, I got the jab or the vaccine for my friends and family. And she said, well, I expect my friends and family to do the same. So I think you're right. It sounds like the people who choose not to get the jab are a lot more tolerable than those who choose to take it. And as far as my immune system, I have never depended on the federal government to look after my immune system.
No, good for you, Mary. And look, I mean, I got the vaccine on the advice of my doctor, and I got to be honest with you. I wish I had not. I mean, the side effects I suffered and still continue to deal with, I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. And the fact of the matter is, Mary, they're not telling you, they're not telling any of us what those side effects are. Because if we knew, I can tell you, Mary, I would not have gotten the jab had I known what was going to happen.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I mean, I'm sure that was very scary. So I'm glad that you're not going to get the other one. Did you hear on the news the FDA, a lot of members of the FDA are not recommending the third booster?
I did read up on that, and we'll try to pull that story up a little bit later. By the way, on that note, postal workers are not required to get the vaccine, and neither are members of Congress or their staffs. They've been exempted. Mary, it's all politics. That's all this is. And this is about cracking down on the American people. Mary, I hate to do this, but we've got a skedaddle for a top-of-the-hour news break. Folks, I know some of you are still on hold. Hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. We have some great guests coming up, including our good friend Jack Posobiec from Human Events. Also, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to drop by. We have a California voter who says he was the victim of voter fraud. We're going to talk to him as well. ToddStearns.com is our website. Now is a great time to head over, get yourself a subscription to our newsletter and also the Todd Stearns podcast, free of charge. We don't charge you for that. We'll be right back, America.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. It's Election Day in California. By the way, if you are listening to us from the Golden State, we would love to hear from you. If you've been out to vote today, what do the crowds look like? And are you having any issues at the ballot box? We're going to be talking to one man who says he did have a problem a little bit later on in the show today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from Newsmax TV, Rob Finnerty. Rob, this is it's Christmas Day for those of us in the news business. Big story today out in California.
Big story. Gavin Newsom, Larry Elder, head-to-head. Over 8 million Californians have already passed the ballot. So I don't think that's going to ultimately be good news for Larry Elder. It does look like Gavin Newsom's going to carry the day. But people forget, this guy's back on the ballot November 2022. So I think if Gavin Newsom does somehow remain on as governor, I think this is just a preamble of the race that we're going to see in the fall of 2022. And I think it will be Larry Elder, and I think it'll be Elder Newsom once again. I think the Republicans will circle the wagons around Elder and prop him up with the money that he needs. He's run one heck of a race. I think Gavin Newsom has been a total disaster for that state. And this really is all about Dianne Feinstein. She's almost 90 years old. If she were, heaven forbid, to pass while in office, it's going to be on the governor to appoint a senator. And if that governor is Democratic, there goes the Republican majority in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I think the challenge for a lot of people nationally is to understand the political landscape there in California. And it is bad for conservatives. It is bad for Republicans. Not a single Republican holds a high office in that state. Democrats have a supermajority in the assembly. And there's really not a lot of wiggle room here. But I'm with you. I think Larry Elder has done a phenomenal job with a very small amount of resources.
And this is, you know, if you watch CNN or MSNBC, and I encourage you to do it if you need something to laugh at, but If you do watch them, they are spinning this as something that's going to make Gavin Newsom politically stronger. I just don't see how that's possible. The Republicans in that state, who are outnumbered 2-1 in registered voters in that state, 2-1, imagine that. It's not the other way in Tennessee, 2-1. It's much, much closer. So they're outnumbered 2-1 Republicans in that state, and they're trying to say that if Newsom wins, he's going to be stronger. It's because they still want to prop this guy up like he's some legitimate candidate to take over for Joe Biden in 2024 or 2028 or whenever. It's going to make him weaker. And I think he's been exposed within the party, and he's run that state. I lived that state for 4 years. He's run that state into the ground.
You know, I was an anchor out in California in Sacramento during the last recall, and ended up covering Schwarzenegger during his time in the governor's office. And it really is. Yep. It was at the time it was a circus atmosphere. But there's a different sort of an atmosphere right now in California. And, you know, the anger and the hostility directed at Larry Elder from the left and these accusations that he's a white supremacist is just mind-boggling.
A black white supremacist.
Oh, yes, a black one, yes.
Yeah, yeah, the L.A. Times, that is the New York Times and the Washington Post on steroids. That's the reputation of the L.A. Times. I was in Bakersfield when I was out there, so right down 99, not far from you in Sacramento. And I wasn't there when Greg Davis was being recalled. But, I mean, for 8 million people to have already voted, I mean, that never happened. It doesn't happen in off-year elections. You'll only see a number like that in a presidential election year. People are up out there. Enough. I mean, we've seen surprises before. We saw it in 2016 with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Thank goodness. Is it enough to swing this in Larry Elder's favor? I don't know. I'm not convinced, honestly, that Republicans got their you-know-what together enough. They should have thrown all of their support behind one single candidate months and months ago. And we had Randy Economy on Wake Up America on Newsmax just this morning. And we've had him on for months as this all has been playing out. And he has said the same thing repeatedly. He's like, I just wish that Republicans, whether it was Larry Elder or Caitlyn Jenner or somebody else, they didn't rally the troops fast enough. And I don't think it's going to be enough today.
No, but that's the story of the California Republican Party. I mean, they've been clueless for years now. They could not even, if you remember when, just a couple of years back, when the Democrats ended up raising the gas tax, and even on that issue that impacted every single voter, people were marching in the streets over that. The Republicans could not even gain any seats in the state house. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's different, too. I'm in Connecticut. Newsmax is in Manhattan, and you guys are in Tennessee. But California, it's such a big state that these little bubble cities, Los Angeles in the south, and really San Francisco in the north, they control everything that happens in a state that is geographically different. The people that live in the state vary from where you are. There's people that live in Sacramento, Bakersfield, Fresno that are valley people. There are people that live in the mountains. And in the northern part of the state, you know, up by Mount Shasta, it's just a totally unique state in that regard. It just stuns me that this is going on again, and people just don't care. They're paying $5 for gas in San Francisco. They don't care enough to say, hey, maybe this has something to do with our governor.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, it's sheer ignorance. But you know what? Elections have consequences. And thank God they've got U-Haul distributors all over the state. And many people are using them, I'm afraid. Yep. Rob, I want to ask you about some reporting from Newsmax. You guys have been reporting about some voter shenanigans. President Trump putting out a message saying, does anybody really believe the California recall election is not rigged? I'm hoping that we're all going to be pleasantly surprised, but I think the numbers just don't think they're there for Republicans.
God, isn't it funny that we've got to talk about it like it's a bad thing to sort of just question whether or not these elections are on the up and up? It used to be in the not so distant past, there would be a Tuesday in November and everyone would go to the polls and you'd all vote. And if you were out of the country, you'd vote absentee. If you were serving our country, you know, that's what you would do. But we all basically would vote on the same day. Now, you know, we're talking about it on the show this morning. We know where the numbers are, and the polls haven't closed. They don't close till 8 o'clock tonight, Pacific time. Yeah, it does not seem like the Republicans have the numbers. Again, they're outnumbered 2-1 in registered voters in the biggest state in the country, something like 50 million people there, not 50 million voters, but, you know, just a massive, massive population. But it's just I'm hoping that tomorrow morning we wake up and we are all confident, and comfortable with the result that we get from this election, and there aren't any questions.
Yeah, well, look, there's no doubt about this. Newsmax TV, you guys are going to be all over the coverage tonight. It's going to be exciting, and we're just so excited to be a part of the Newsmax family. So, Rob, look forward to seeing you on the channel, and good luck.
Thanks so much, Todd. Appreciate it. Good to be on again.
All right, Rob Finnerty from Newsmax TV, and we will be watching Newsmax, and we'll be providing updates on our website throughout the night at toddstearns.com. Again, that's Rob Finnerty from Newsmax TV. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Congressman Barry Loudermilk is going to drop by. And in the next hour, Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to weigh in on Antony Blinken's testimony. You're going to want to stick around for that. Let's go to the phones real quick. Rob in New York on the live stream wants to weigh in on Larry Elder. All right, Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. You know, but Larry, you said earlier you were vaccinated and there were side effects, right?
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Rob. Appreciate that. And, folks, we are going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Again, our website is toddstearns.com. And, folks, if you haven't been over to the store lately, you need to check it out. We have some great new products, including our awesome new coffee mugs. And I would encourage you, get a coffee mug, blessed not bitter coffee mug, and you can get a copy of the new devotion book, our daily biscuit devotions with a draw. You can drink your coffee while you read your devotion book. And it makes a great combo gift. Folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, so Bob Woodward's got a new book coming out, and CNN has obtained an advanced copy. Woodward, of course, does a lot of work with CNN, so no surprise there. He also co-wrote the book called Peril with Robert Costa. Now, some of the stories coming out are jaw-dropping. This is the latest, and this story just posted a few moments ago. According to the Woodward book, General Mark Milley, who is now the chairman of the Joint Chiefs with President Biden, General Mark Milley was so alarmed at President Trump's mental state after the January 6 attacks that he took top secret action to limit the president's ability to order any kind of a military strike or to launch nuclear weapons. Now, let me say this. That statement alone is enough to warrant an official investigation. Because what CNN is telling us and what Bob Woodward is telling us is that Mark Milley was actively engaged in undermining President Trump and the Trump administration. And quite frankly, there is a very good argument that can be made. This man was a traitor to his nation, talking about Mark Milley. According to the authors, Milley worried that Trump could go rogue. You never know what a president's trigger point is, Milley told his senior staff. So in response, Milley took extraordinary action, called a secret meeting in his Pentagon office. This happened on January the 8th, by the way. And the whole point of this meeting was to review the process for military action, including launching nuclear weapons. He was speaking to senior military officials in charge of the National Military Command Center in the Pentagon's war room, and General Milley instructed them not to take orders from anyone unless he was involved. What right does he have to do that? The president is the commander-in-chief. Donald John Trump is the commander-in-chief. Whether you like it or not, Joseph Robinette Biden is the commander-in-chief, not Mark Milley. Do you see what Trump was up to? Do you see what he was facing now? This is the deep state at its most vile and evil. Quote, no matter what you are told, you do the procedure, you do the process, and I'm part of the procedure. That's what General Milley told the military officers in the room. He then went around the room, looked each officer in the eye, and asked them to verbally confirm they understood. Who the hell is this guy? Who does he think he is? Milley is, he would walk right, you got it, folks, this is unbelievable. Milley would walk around the room, he would stare, it would be like me walking up to my staff, looking Grace Baker directly in the eyes, and Grace, do you understand exactly what I'm telling you?
Yes, sir.
Got it, Grace?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what Milley did. He told every single military officer, got it? And they replied, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would have said, sir, who do you think you are, sir? Peril is based on more than 200 interviews with firsthand participants and witnesses, and it posts a chilling picture of Trump's final days in office. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't trust Bob Woodward as far as I could throw a softball. I don't trust the guy. But this is crazy stuff if it went down the way they're saying it went down. And I guarantee you that Mark Milley is probably the guy who gave him the inside scoop here, because that's how those kinds of guys operate. Mark Milley would be the general. Now, you just hear me on this. He would be the one to tell the troops to fire on American citizens. He would be the guy that would tell the troops to go and arrest Trump supporters and put them in jail. Mark Milley is that kind of a man. According to CNN's reading of the book, Milley's fear was based on his own observations of Trump's erratic behavior. Again, that is not his concern. His concern was magnified by the events of January 6 and the extraordinary risk the situation posed to U.S. national security. Milley had already... Now, and this is, folks, what I'm about to tell you, do not swerve off the interstate. Milley had already had two back-channel phone calls with China's top general, who was on high alert over chaos in the United States. That in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, Mark Milley should be dragged out of the Pentagon in chains, in handcuffs, and thrown into the brig. Milley received a blunt phone call from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. According to the book, Woodward and Acosta exclusively obtained a transcript of the call, during which Milley tried to reassure Pelosi the nuclear weapons were safe. Pelosi pushed back. So that clearly this conversation happened because I got a transcript of it. Pelosi pushed back. What I'm saying to you is that if they couldn't even stop him from an assault on the Capitol, who even knows what else he may do? Is there anybody in charge of the White House who was doing anything but kissing his fat butt over all of this? That's Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi continues, you know he's crazy. He's been crazy for a long time. General Milley responded, Madam Speaker, I agree with you on everything. So what have we just learned? We've just learned, ladies and gentlemen, there was a third coup attempt during the Trump presidency. We had one during the campaign with Russia collusion. We had a second during the impeachment process, and there was a third in the final days of the Trump administration. Mark Milley colluding with the Democrats and the Chinese. After the call, Milley decided he had to act. He told his top service chiefs to watch everything all the time. He called the director of the NSA and told him, needles up, keep watching, scan. He told the CIA director, Gina Haspel, aggressively watch everything, 360. The authors wrote that Milley was overseeing the mobilization of America's national security state without the knowledge of the American people or the rest of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, those are chilling words. We were on the verge of a military coup in the United States of America. And quite frankly, it does make you wonder what really happened in November of 2020. Woodward and Costa also write that some might contend Milley had overstepped his authority. You think? And taken extraordinary power for himself. But he believed his actions were a good faith precaution to ensure there was no historic rupture in the international order. He's the guy that caused the rupture. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to dig into more of this. Again, this story just dropping, and we're sort of learning this info together. Not good, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. And, of course, this crazy story coming out of CNN, the new Bob Woodward book about the final days of the Trump administration, General Mark Milley taking top secret action, contacting the Chinese, contacting Nancy Pelosi, and undermining the president of the United States. Honest to goodness, I don't know why General Milley is anywhere around the Pentagon based on this information, if in fact it is true. We are talking about Bob Woodward, but they've got the transcripts, and that's good enough for me at this point. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always good to have with us Congressman Barry Loudermilk. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
You know, Congressman, we were talking about this this story that came out just a little while ago with CNN and Bob Woodward's book. I mean, the behavior of General Mark Milley is not only appalling, it sounds as if they were plotting some sort of a third coup attempt against President Trump.
It wouldn't surprise me at all at this point. I mean, from what we've seen so far, especially with Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she is totally unfettered. Law doesn't mean anything to her. Rules don't mean anything to her. The Constitution means nothing to her. It's all about absolute power, and it's about her absolute power as well. So if I was anyone else around there, I'd be looking over my shoulder for her.
You know, Congressman, we've been talking earlier in the program about these vaccine mandates. The Atlantic has a story out suggesting that half of the people hospitalized with COVID have either very mild cases or they're asymptomatic. And there is another report out there suggesting that it is incredibly harmful for little boys, especially to take the vaccine because they're developing heart conditions. And it just seems to me that there are valid concerns that a lot of people have about this vaccine.
A lot of people do. I'm getting contacted from people all the time who know someone who's had some negative reaction. I talked to a physician the other day who I talked to his brother who told me that he has now an aneurysm on his heart, and this is a physician who says, I can tell you it came from this vaccine. Now, do other vaccines cause this type of stuff? Well, some doctors say, yeah, they do. Well, the thing about this is a medical procedure. And throughout the history of our country, we have always said, you know, the medical procedure should be a decision that's made between the patient and the physician, not the patient and the politician. And we're totally politicizing this. And it's absolutely incredible that the president of the United States is forcing a medical procedure upon people who it may be harmful for. We don't know, but that still should be a decision that's made by the physician.
And, of course, there's a report out of Israel. 20% of the children in Israel who got the vaccine have suffered some sort of a severe side effect. So there is a lot of medical evidence. The mainstream media may not want to cover that, but it's a big deal. And we played some audio earlier from North Carolina where you had doctors, they didn't know they were being recorded, Congressman, talking to the marketing department at their hospital saying they really wanted to put the fear of God in people so they would get the vaccine. It's just unbelievable what's happening. And a lot of people are just wondering, who do we trust here?
Well, the thing is, you should trust yourself. You should trust your doctor when it comes to medical issues, definitely not the federal government. I mean, this is the same federal government we were just talking about that has been trying to run coups against a president, a sitting president of the United States. It's the same federal government that continually lies to us every day, especially over Afghanistan. I mean, we have just seen this president cannot tell the truth if it was written in a teleprompter in front of him. In fact, it's lies that are written on the teleprompter. And so they cannot tell the truth for some reason. We're seeing that with Secretary of State Blinken right now, who's testifying, oh, this our failure in Afghanistan was Trump's fault. They're habitual liars.
As a matter of fact, we have some audio. I want to play. This is Antony Blinken testifying yesterday up on Capitol Hill. Cut number three, please.
Are you currently negotiating with the Taliban with respect to these Americans that are trying to get out on these planes? And also, are you negotiating with the Taliban on the issue of legitimizing them as a real government?
Not only us, but virtually the entire international community, including in a United Nations Security Council resolution, has made clear what we expect and will insist on from the Taliban if they want to seek any legitimacy or any support. And that includes, it starts with freedom of travel. So we've been intensely engaged with Turkey and Qatar to get the airport in Kabul up and running again.
All right, there you go, Congressman. We're going to open up, what, an embassy for the Taliban in Washington, D.C.?
They are listed as an international terrorist organization by the United States. It's law. Before you can do that, you're going to have to change the law. I mean, we list the Taliban as a terrorist organization. So what's next? Is it going to be an embassy for Al-Qaeda? What about ISIS? I mean, this is the thing that this administration is obviously not comprehending. These are not our friends. They are enemies. And how in the world could you consider even negotiating with this terrorist organization? It's beyond me. I have no explanation.
You know, what was your take on Antony Blinken? He didn't even have the decency to actually show up in person. He literally phoned it in from the State Department.
That just amazed me that it's blocks, literally blocks from the Capitol to the White House. He has a motorcade. He has security people. It is one of the easiest things in the world. He doesn't have to wait on traffic because the D.C. police and the Capitol police run a motorcade and block all the traffic for him to get there. I think he just didn't want to face members of Congress face-to-face. When you're isolated like that, it's a whole lot easier to be fed talking points. This is my opinion of what's going on. And you can have other people, telling you things to say and, try to answer those questions, because obviously his answers, a lot of them were scripted. They had their talking points. Most of the answers made no logical sense whatsoever. To blame President Trump for your failure, I mean, I can't imagine any Americans that would actually honestly believe that. But still, I think it was entirely disrespectful for him to not show up at the Capitol.
I'm with you on that. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. And I know the folks down in the 11th Congressional District in Georgia really appreciate your great work, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for all that you're doing as well.
All right, Congressman Barry Loudermilk from the great state of Georgia. And by the way, folks, if you are anywhere near North Georgia. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to be hosting our big Faith and Freedom Celebration at Truett McConnell University, and we would love to see you there. Our good friend Sarah Sanders is our keynote speaker this year, and after her remarks, we'll also be doing a pretty incredible Q&A interview. It's a great dinner. It's just a great night to hang out with fellow conservatives, and we would love for you to be a part of that. All you need to do to get a ticket is go to truett.edu. That's T-R-U-E-T-T.edu, truett.edu. Or you can just call the university, Truett McConnell University, and get yourself a ticket. I think well over 1,000 people are already signed up. It's going to be a fun, fun night. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know, Grace Baker, going back to the big Met Gala out there, is it gala, gala?
I call it a gala, yeah. But it depends on where you're from, you know,
hoity-toity.
North, south.
You know, I got invited to those kinds of things when I was living in New York City.
Ooh, I would have loved to see you sport an outfit to one of those things.
I just never
got
in. I never, yeah, I'm not a sequins, not a sequins guy. I'm not, not a big sequin guy, to be honest.
Or a jumpsuit.
Yeah, probably not going to do that. Maybe, okay. Well, maybe it's an Elvis jumpsuit. I mean, that might be fun.
Got to represent.
Got to represent. But and I'm not good in the heels. You know, you got or the is that what they call them? Clogs.
They do have clogs.
Okay,
clogs are back in style apparently.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, it's not a good look for people.
Not normally. Very few people can pull it off.
And Megyn Kelly was weighing in on this. Megyn Kelly seemed to think that is Madonna. Is that
yes?
Madonna was not dressed like a senior citizen.
No, she wasn't. She was trying to look 18.
Probably needed a sweater.
It was not a great look.
It looked a little chilly.
She just looked rough.
But Megyn Kelly suggested that she was wearing faux buttocks. Is that a thing? Is that possible?
Very. I mean, hey, they make stuff that you wouldn't even think of.
Can we talk about that? I don't know what it is with the women yesterday, but everybody was like really kind of catfighty.
Yeah.
It was like The View.
Oh.
You know, and I don't watch
magpies.
I don't watch the squawking magpies at The View because there's way too much testosterone in that show.
You're not wrong.
But anyway, while all that was going on with the fake butts and tax the it's rich, R-I-C.
Tax the rich.
Okay, because I just
I didn't see the,
I'm like, wow, is that, was a profane message, but it was not that, it was tax the rich.
No, Todd.
Well, all I saw was C-H, and I thought, well, they misspelled a word.
Maybe she had a big itch.
Ramp could be. I'm just saying, some of those people,
I know.
They looked communicable. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to judge.
But you are.
So, Nicki Minaj, while all that was going down, Nicki Minaj, who was she on American Idol? Was she an American Idol judge?
Oh,
I seem
gosh.
To recall her
I
doing something.
I mean, she's
something.
Been around forever.
So, Nicki Minaj said that she was not going to get the China virus vaccine, right?
Correct.
Because of something terrible that happened to a family member.
Yes.
In Trinidad. And I don't know, you know, I probably shouldn't read this on the air, but it sounded to me, they explained the predicament her loved one was in when he got the vaccine, and he had an issue.
Yes.
A certain body part became, shall we say, bloated, swollen. And all I can say is, I don't think that was from the vaccine, because I've heard of the vaccine doing a lot of stuff, but not that.
No.
So anyway, Nicki Minaj says, going to hold off, and we're going to see how this goes. And so then Joy Reid comes out and, like, rips her a new one. Of course, Joy Reid is from MSDNC, and she's the one who's always saying really horrible things about gay people. And then she comes back and says, oh, I got hacked.
Yep.
All right. So Nicki Minaj goes after Joy Reid after Joy Reid goes after her. And she called Joy Reid a dumbass and homophobic and thirsty to... I can't say
you
that. Read that. My goodness.
Be
gracious.
Careful.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. She's very profane, even though her point was mostly correct.
And then Joy Reid responded to that, and then out came a flurry of language. We're not even, it was the C word and another word.
Nasty, nasty.
And it wasn't that C word. It was another C word that is a racial epithet C word. It's all very confusing. All that to say, a lot of people in a bad mood on Twitter last night.
Oh, it was rough.
Just going to throw that out there.
But hey, I'm kind of proud. You know, Nicki Minaj, she's never been one of my favorites, but at least she said something. She said I'm not going to, you know, these events that they require the vaccine because I haven't gotten it yet.
And now they're calling her a black Trump, and that's what they're calling Larry Elder.
Which is insane because she's a total liberal. Like, she's so not right wing in the slightest. And you saw her responses afterward. It's like, nope.
Had to look up a couple of those words. I'm like, wow, always wondered what that word meant.
Now you know.
I heard it a couple of times in a Baptist Wednesday night business meeting. Don't want to talk about that. But would you go to one of those parties? Would you go to one of the highfalutin, like the Met Galas? Is that your jam? Yeah, is that what you like to do?
Probably not.
Or are you more
not.
Of a honky-tonk girl?
Can I say I'm in between?
Yeah, I think that's
I'm more
fair.
Of like a maybe a
Applebee's
chill
girl.
Rooftop party kind
You're like
of
like an Applebee's
thing.
Girl?
No.
TGI Fridays?
Come on, give me more credit than that.
Oh, so a step up from that.
Step up from that.
All right. So I'm not sure what party level we're talking about.
I mean, you've got very chill.
So you're not Waffle House, certainly.
No, not Waffle House. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's like I said, chill, maybe rooftop, hang out.
All right, that's fair enough.
You know, maybe order some takeout from a Chinese place.
Oh, I love.
There you go.
Oh, I had PF Chang's the other night. Very tasty.
Yummy. Mm-hmm. See?
The lettuce
that would
wraps.
Be good.
Very nice. I'm assuming that was chicken.
It probably was.
You never know.
Tastes like chicken.
You never know. You just don't ask.
As long as it's not pig nipples.
Oh, yeah. All right. You can't. I don't want you to ever say that again on the radio.
Sorry.
Jeez, Alou. It's a family-friendly radio. You know, we invite the homeschool crowd to come in and listen, and now
we're
they're
educating
learning.
Them. They're going right, to find this out in college.
What is
it's
this, the
happen.
Farm report? Oh, geez, Alou. All right, folks. Look, a lot going on here all over the country, and we're going to get into it in the next hour. A lot of crazy stuff, including your calls. Our good friend Jack Posobiec is going to weigh in. He has been reading through these reports coming from CNN and the new Bob Woodward book. So we're going to check in with him about that. Also, the California election. Iman Afshar was one of the Republican voters who went down to cast a ballot. And guess what, folks? Turns out he had already voted, except it wasn't him. So we're going to talk to him. His wife also tried to vote, but they said, no, sorry, ma'am, you've already voted too. Turns out a lot of Republicans in Woodland Hills, California, when they went to go vote, they were told that someone had already voted for them. And we're going to be talking about voter fraud in the next hour, along with our good friend Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, who wants to weigh in on Antony Blinken's testimony up on Capitol Hill. Folks, also want to remind you that now is a great opportunity to head over to our website. We are promoting all of our books. We've got some incredible books. Of course, the brand new one, our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, is selling like hotcakes. We also have Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, and my very first culture war book, God Bless America. We have some great discounts already gearing up for the Christmas season. I know it's kind of early, but, you know, it's good to get that shopping done so you don't have to worry about it. And we would love to be able to sign and personalize all of those gifts for you, and we're happy to do that. That won't cost you a penny, but you do have to buy the book over at toddstarns.com. Hang tight, America. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love
And the third hour of the Todd Starnes radio program brought to you by Community Coffee. No, not really. Well, yes, really, I'm drinking the coffee. I always say we're paying for this endorsement, Grace Baker. But it is the coffee of choice here at the Todd Starnes radio program. A locally owned, and by locally, I mean in America, a New Orleans family owns Community Coffee. And the best part about Community Coffee, it does not cost, what, $10, and it doesn't taste burnt. So that's my criteria. And they meet both of them, and it's a delicious cup of coffee. Hey, good to have you with us today on this rainy afternoon here in Tennessee. We're getting some of the outer bands of the hurricane, now Tropical Storm Nicholas, that is inundating parts of Louisiana. So all of you listeners in Lafayette on KROF, our listeners KPEL, Lake Charles, Louisiana, you guys are getting, you're on the dirty side of the hurricane. You know what that means, and that means you guys are going to get the big flooding rain. So be careful out there. Listen to the radio, and they're going to take care of you and your family. So look, a few moments ago, I was sharing information with you that I got from Jack Posobiec regarding this crazy new book from Bob Woodward, allegations that, quite frankly, when I read them, indicate there was at least a third coup attempt on President Trump in the final days of his presidency. It is absolutely despicable, and I'd like to know why General Mark Milley is not already on his way out of the Pentagon. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Jack Posobiec, who himself has a new book on capitalism versus communism. The title of this incredible book, The Island of Free Ice Cream. Jack, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, always a pleasure. And I appreciate you getting the book promo in there, even though, of course, all of this General Milley stuff is dropping. You know, here I go to put out a children's book that's anti-communism, and then now we've got General Milley news about potentially launching a coup, giving away our military plans to China, Chinese generals. This is a huge problem, and we absolutely have to talk about it.
Jack, you're absolutely right, and my concern here, and there were many, of course, the conversation, and they, you know, Bob Woodward says he has the transcript of this phone conversation between Milley and Nancy Pelosi, and it seems to me this was just evidence of the deep state, the swamp in Washington, D.C., fighting this president every day of his presidency.
Look, it's as simple as this, folks. If you're in the military like I was, when I was the intelligence officer, you understand that there is a chain of command. That chain of command flows to the top, not to the chairman or joint chiefs of staff, but to the elected commander-in-chief of the American people, the United States president. That is codified in our Constitution that every military member raises their hand and swears to defend and uphold. That is our system of law. To countermand that system is, in effect, a military coup by definition.
Jack, when you've read through, and I know this story just broke within the past hour or so, what are some of the concerns you have based on the allegations that were made in the book?
Well, the two pieces that are very concerning to me, number one, quite frankly, that Milley made this action unilaterally without knowing what kind of, or apparently without considering what kind of action or response it could have provoked from the Chinese. The Chinese military, essentially, he's telling them, I'm giving you a free hand, in which case that could have initiated their military invasion of Taiwan, taking it back. They consider it to be not an independent country, but a wayward rogue province. Secondly, if you had had a PLA general up there that wasn't reading between the lines, they might just start saying that it was actually a threat on China and potentially could have provoked a first strike, or what they would have called a preemptive strike by China on American cities. I mean, the permutations of what types of reaction you would get from China over a call like this, which is completely out of the ordinary, completely beyond the pale, completely against United States law, are just insane, quite frankly. They're insane to even think about what type of response he could get by being willing to pick up the phone and call a leading Chinese general and discuss U.S. nuclear strategy with them.
You know, Jack, this is the kind of guy, Mark Milley, this is the kind of guy that would give the orders to round up the Trump supporters and put them in the camps, as the Bernie Sanders staffers wanted to do back, you know, during the campaign. I mean, this is the guy that would carry out those kinds of orders.
I mean, you heard it from Milley himself when he said that he apologized, right? I mean, I always go back to this. He apologized for being out there with the president when the rioters, the looters, and the violent arsonists were kicked out of Lafayette Square, which is, of course, just north of the White House here in Washington, D.C. They were setting a historic church on fire. The U.S. government kicked them out of the square, and yet Milley apologized to Antifa for being there in his uniform. It never made sense to me, but it does make sense if you think of it through the lens of the fact that our general corps, our generals, our admirals, our flag officers, anyone 07 and above, for the most part, came up under Obama, came up under this new system, came up under the woke war colleges, and they are not serving in a capacity whereby in they're thinking about the needs of the American people. They instead are thinking about political rank and the inside game of what goes on in Washington, D.C. And you hear the same thing from General Milley just a week ago when he was talking about having a righteous strike, when we already knew that a family in Afghanistan had been killed. Now we find that it was an innocent family. He has not yet once come out to say that he made a mistake.
Unbelievable. Jack, real quick, I want to get your take on what's happening out in California. Of course, the recall, this is an uphill climb, no doubt about it, for Republicans wanting to recall Gavin Newsom. What are you hearing?
So right now, the word of the day seems to be, from my California people, seems to be shenanigans. People talking about ballots being sent all over the place. People talking about deceased people, you know, receiving multiple mail-in ballots when they shouldn't have even received one in the first place. They've opened it up a system whereby in it seems as though it's going to be very hard to get to the bottom of an actual audit if they want to go back and understand what happened. But also it seems like they are flooding the state with mail-in ballots. Of course, we've seen this again, and we know from, of course, history, from, of course, the Jimmy Carter Commission and other European countries, Canada, for example, that they are wary of mail-in ballots for this just this very reason.
No, exactly. All right. We are up against a hard break, but Jack, I want you to tell our listeners, we've got a lot of moms and dads, about your incredible new book, The Island of Free Ice Cream.
Folks, well, the idea is that there's no such thing as free ice cream, kids, and it's all about communism and people using false pledges of giving you something for free when they really want to take everything in exchange. And so for anyone out there who's a homeschooler or for anyone who just wants to give their kids something to fight back against the woke indoctrination that's going on every time you walk into one of these mainstream booksellers, that's what this book is. It's part of the Brave Book series. So we've got Ashley St. Clair out there. We've also got Elizabeth Johnson with a pro-life book. This is book three in the series. So go to bravebooks.us. There's going to be 12 books in all. So it's, you can get a one-month subscription, and it's going to be 12 books throughout the entire year. And it's really going to be great. Something with, by the way, these are stories. There's characters. You know, there's good guys. There's bad guys. You almost don't even know that you're getting something political until the end. There's a little bit of a worksheet section, but it's a way to start having those conversations with your kids without having to, you know, kind of beat them over the head about politics.
Fantastic. Well, Jack, congratulations on the new book. And I know a lot of our listeners are going to snag a copy for the youngsters. We're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate having you on the program.
Thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right, Jack Posobiec, ladies and gentlemen, you read his stuff over at Human Events, a brand new children's book out, The Island of Free Ice Cream, which is educating kids about capitalism versus communism. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now more than ever, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. That's why I use Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we care about. And if you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, use the promo code Todd. You're going to get free activation and a free gift. It's super easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. I want to go directly to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're honored to have with us a gentleman by the name of Imam Ashbar, who was voting, went to go vote in California, and made a very interesting discovery. And, of course, your story is all over social media now, Imam. But welcome to the program, and tell our listeners what happened.
All right, thanks for having me. So this Saturday, my wife and I went to go vote at our local voting center. This is a place that we had gone previous elections and voted. So when we walk inside, walk over to the table, and the volunteer asks us for our name, we give them the spelling of our name. They put it into the system, and they tell us that the system shows that we have already voted. So we thought it was a mistake. We said, can you please check it again? They checked again, same thing. It shows that we had already voted. So as we're standing there in shock, the couple right behind us walk up to the table, and they give their names, and the same thing with them. Shows that they had already voted. So now we walk over, ask for the supervisor, and we start speaking with the supervisor. And he goes to explain to us that this has been happening to over 70% of those who had gone in that day. And the only resolution was to fill out a provisional ballot, send it in, which I was not comfortable doing. My wife's phone started recording the conversation being had, and she again asked him, you know, so you mean to tell us that over 70% of those who came this morning to vote had experienced the same thing? And he said, correct. So we left, you know, I immediately contacted the media, news channels, Fox 11, and they came, started doing the interviews, and we just started from there.
Iman, I'm curious, were you guys ever able to get this resolved? Were you and your wife able to actually cast a ballot?
Yes. So later on that day, we went to try at another voting center at Pierce College. And we went, gave our name. At first, they couldn't pull it up. We gave, you know, the spelling of our name. They couldn't pull it up. I handed my driver's license to the volunteer. I'm like, here's my driver's license. Can you look at the correct spelling? And she turns around and she says, I'm not allowed to take your ID. So that was news to me. I knew that IDs weren't required, but I didn't know that they're not allowed to take your ID. So finally, they figured it out. They were putting the information in the wrong box. They found our information, and it did not show in that system that we had voted. So we were able to go and cast our vote. Still today, we don't know which vote counted, the first center's vote or the second one that we went to.
Unbelievable. Iman, I know you've probably been following the stories like we all have. What was your initial reaction when you realized that this happened to you, that you were that you were caught up in what sure does smell like voter shenanigans?
Yes. Well, at first, We thought this was an isolated incident, and then there was a lady, another volunteer at the center, who did tell us to report this incident. She said, I encourage you to report it because it's happening all over. So when she said that, you know, our antennas went up, and we thought it's really important for us to get this message out. And there's one more aspect of this that people are not even talking about. We were one of the ones that walked up to the counter, and we did not bring in our ballots to drop it off in the box. So we were able to see what the system showed. What about all those who just came to drop off their ballots and didn't go up to the machines to see if their names showed if they had voted or not? So we really don't know what the results of all this could be.
Iman, I'm curious how things are going in California. What are you guys hearing? Are the anti-Newsom forces hopeful out there?
To be honest with you, the little hope, because we know, well, I know, or I feel like there's a fix in the equation. It's sad to have little hope, but this is the day and age that we live in. We still have to try our best to put our votes out there. There have been multiple people that have contacted me after seeing my story and my contact information, and who have reached out and expressed that the same thing has happened to them. A gentleman, Jay, just called me a few minutes ago from Torrance, and he said the same exact thing happened to him, and he gave me his contact information. So it's widespread.
Well, I think you did the right thing, though, is that you spoke out and did something about it. And that's what we've got to encourage other Republicans, conservatives, independents, people to do in California. Iman, a lot of folks are wondering, what is it like to live in California under the rule of the Democrats?
Listen, I grew up here. I've always lived in California. I'm a son to immigrants. I was born in the U.S., but when I was 2 years old, my parents went back to Iran, my home country, and we got stuck over there for 7 years during the revolution. So when we got back here, you know, I cherished America because I was American. I was born here. When I was in school in Iran, they used to do the daily, like we do the Pledge of Allegiance here. They used to do the Death to America chants in the morning in the schools. So I used to get in trouble and get beat a little bit for not doing the Death to America chants. So I love America. I'm an American. And California has been my home over these years for the last 35 years. And it's really sad what's happening out here. The homeless, dirty, it's crime everywhere. You have no rights. The government controls you left and right. So it's quite a sad situation.
Well, Iman, let's hope that there are enough good-hearted patriots like yourself and your wife that are going to stay there, fight the good fight, and let's see if we can't, you know, make a change. And we'll be watching the results. Good luck, and thank you for coming on the program today, and thanks for speaking out.
Appreciate for having me, and thank you for spreading the word.
All right, Iman Afshar, he is a citizen. He and his wife went to go do their American duty. They went to go and vote over the weekend. And when they got there, lo and behold, they discovered somebody had already voted using their names. But instead of just going home, they actually did something about it. And that's what we're going to have to do, folks. We've got to speak out. And when there is, in fact, voter fraud out there, we've got to call that out. And we've got to have the evidence. And the Afshars have the evidence. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. We're going to the phones, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. Lots of great stories for you. By the way, newsletter coming out in just about a half an hour. So if you have not signed up, you better go ahead and get yourself signed up to get that newsletter. We'll be right back, America. Let's get right to the phones, everybody. Todd Stearns here, by the way. Always good to have you folks with us. Let's go to North Carolina. Joyce hanging out with us on WSIC, great radio station. Hi, Joyce. How are you today?
I'm feeling okay. I'm addicted to your program.
Well, thank you. Oh, well, you're very kind to say that, Joyce. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm kind of worried about the Americans in Afghanistan. Are they eating anything?
Are they eating anything?
The Americans, are they feeding them?
Are they feeding the... You know, that is a very good question. Joyce, we don't know. And that's the reality, is that we don't know how many Americans are still there. We don't know how many Americans might be prisoners of the Taliban. And we really don't know what conditions they're living in.
How much longer have we got to put up Joe Biden?
Well, that is that's a million-dollar question, Joyce. It all depends on a couple of things, but I think by and large, this is all dependent upon the Democrats.
You know, he's one of the dumbest presidents we've ever had in our life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. All right, Joyce.
Meet you, but I'm too far away.
Well, you're very kind to say that, Joyce, and you never know when we might end up in North Carolina, so you be listening to your radio, and we might be able to make
Grace.
That happen.
I love Grace the telephone.
Is that right?
All right. Kitty cat named Grace. She's white.
Is that right? You have a white kitty cat named Grace.
Uh-huh. And we live in a good state, North Carolina.
Yes, you do.
And I got a good church. Very good church.
Well, Joyce, you just sound like a great lady there, and we appreciate you calling into our program. And you be sure to tell the little kitty cat, Grace the kitty cat, we said hello. Will you do that, Joyce?
I forgot to tell you, when you first changed your phone number, I couldn't get through because I didn't have long distance.
Oh, dear. Well,
but
you do now, because the toll-free line, Joyce, is up and running. Joyce, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Grace, she has a kitty cat.
Yes, it is named Grace, so I'll take it. I don't normally like cats, but it's named Grace, so okay.
And because you're a dog, a dog mother?
A dog mom.
A dog mom, and you've got the dog Merlot.
Yes, definitely am a dog person.
Maybe y'all could have a lunch date or something.
She brings her cat, and I bring my dog.
Little Grace and Merlot. Gracie the kitty cat and Merlot. So I was having a conversation. This is interesting, Grace. Joyce brought up something very interesting about our 800 number, our toll-free number. And I was talking to one of our senior staff members here, and they were like, why do you need a toll-free number? Because everybody has long distance. You just call the number, and it's in your plan.
Ta-da.
And I tried to explain, and he's a millennial. I tried to explain to him that the whole reason why is because a lot of people still have landlines, and they may not have a smartphone, and when they have to call long distance, it costs them money.
Yep.
So that's why most of the talk shows, all the talk shows in America, the national shows, have a toll-free number.
There you go.
So we pick up the tab. We'll pay the bill.
That's nice.
That's what we do. All right. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Toll free, as Joyce just said. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Maine. Jeff listening to us on WLOB. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, sir? I love the show. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
But I got to tell you something that happened last August that you'd be interested in. Goes along with the premise of your show. So I work for a labor union. I'm at the state house quite often for legislation and whatnot. I got a call from a place called the Maine People's Alliance asking me if I needed a ballot sent to me to vote. I explained to them it's my civic duty as a taxpayer to make my way to the polls that day and vote. By doing that, I get to see neighbors I might not normally see. I might even sway people to believe the way I believe, or if they're undecided, point them in the right direction. Probably about 3 weeks later, I received, lo and behold, a ballot in the mail. And I looked at it and I was disgusted. So obviously, it's like a financial page to me. I tore it up and threw it away, thought nothing of it. 3 weeks later, I get another ballot for them. That's my second ballot from the Maine People's Alliance. I'm like, darn, I wish I had saved the previous ballot, because this isn't right, getting multiple ballots sent to me. Probably another 2-3 weeks later, after I'd thrown the second ballot away too, because I figure, oh, it's too late, I get a third ballot. that allows me to vote three times if I drop it in, you know, in one of the drop boxes or whatever. To me, I don't see any way that they can match it up. Obviously, I threw that one away, tore it up. But I wished in retrospect that I'd saved all three ballots and made a stink about it. I was disgusted. And then lo and behold, the election happened and, you know, everyone's trying to convince us that the election was done right. And like I said, when I get the Maine People's Alliance, Peoples, anytime you got Peoples in there, People's Republic of China, you know, you got to think where you're going. So I love the show. I'm going to hang up and listen as always. Keep up the good work.
Jeff, well, thank you, sir. And thanks for the kind words there in Maine. And look, Jeff just proved my point. I think that unless you are a senior citizen or have some sort of a health issue that prevents you from getting up and getting into a car and going down to vote, you should be casting your ballot in person. And that cuts down on all the voter fraud and the shenanigans and all the dead people voting. And by the way, have we ever figured out, maybe somebody should commission a study, why is it that dead people always vote Democrat? Why is that? What's going on in the afterlife that would compel a lifelong conservative like Ronald Reagan to vote Democrat in the 2020 presidential election? I just want someone to explain that to me. By the way, Grace, I want to go back to a story. I didn't get your thoughts on this. Earlier in the program, there is a new survey out. They say that 14% of vaccinated people have gotten rid of friends from their lives due to their difference of opinion on the vaccine. 1 in 7 people have dumped friends over the China virus stance.
That's rough.
Is this in your circle of friends? Has this impacted you?
I'll be honest, no. But I don't hang around crazy people like that.
Wow. Okay. Don't tell Miss Janus.
Well, no, here's the
thing.
She'll
get fired up.
But I think Miss Janus would, like, hang out with me still. Like, the fact that they're just like, nope, not associating, goodbye.
The poll showed that overall 16% of Americans have dumped at least three friends from their lives since the beginning of 2020 for various reasons.
That's rough.
While cheating, lying, and different political opinions were on the list, can I just say this? The most intolerant people I know are Democrats. If your values and your opinions do not square up with theirs, they will not want to be friends with you. And they will just drop you. That's very sad. They're very intolerant people.
I'm getting that trend.
And I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not supposed to use that phrase. Let me say this. I'm not sure I would want to hang out with people like that anyway.
I said crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. There's liberals and there's lefties. And these are the lefties. And they're crazy. There's just no
speaking of crazy, we've got some good crazy here. Hold on. I've got this information. Yes. This is one of the worst stories I've ever heard. So a white couple, a good and decent couple, they happen to be white. They adopted a black child, okay? So the child grows up, Grace, and I guess I can't tell her age. She's got to be in her mid to late 20s, maybe early 30s.
Okay. All right,
I think that's a pretty good estimate here. So the adopted parents bought her a house.
That was nice.
When you got married to Mr. Producer,
yeah.
Did your parents buy you a house?
No,
they love you, but you have to what? You had to
work
to buy your house.
Correct.
All right, very good. So, but this white couple loved their adopted black child so much that they bought the child a house. But the black child is upset because of where the house is located. So I want us to listen together. Cut number 20.
Hi, I'm Mia. I'm a transracial adoptee. My adoptive parents are white. Before I start, I just want to say that I love them, but transracial adoption is hard. So a little over a year ago, my parents bought me a house and I rent from them, and I'm extremely grateful. I believe they looked up the neighborhood to see if it was a safe place. What I don't think they considered is if it was a safe place for a black person. One, I'm surrounded by Trump flags. Two, I have a neighbor who, right by their Trump flag, proudly flies a Confederate flag. And I get it.
As white people, you don't have to be concerned about that stuff. Those kinds of people don't threaten your safety. But by being around those people, me and my daughter's lives are at risk. So what do? How do I tell my parents that I don't feel safe here? I can't just ask them to buy me a new house, but I don't feel safe. If you adopt transracially, you have to think about this stuff.
All right. R.G. Bunker from All in the Family used a phrase a lot on the TV show. That woman is a dingbat. A dingbat, ladies and gentlemen. So a couple of things to unravel here. Grace, my favorite is that she considers herself to be a transracial adoptee.
That's what was I kept thinking about. A transracial
It's
adoptee.
A word. Everything's got a word now. Everything's got a word.
But, like, I feel like none of these words mean anything.
No, of course not.
Like, it just feels like word salad at this point.
So she's upset because her parents, I'm just going to go ahead and just say this because it needs to be said. She's upset because her parents bought her a house in a nice neighborhood.
Dang.
Oh, the horror. Yesterday, Grace, in Memphis, Tennessee, five people were shot dead in the streets. Five people shot dead. And this ungrateful little punkette is upset because mommy and daddy bought her a house where she didn't have to worry about putting locks and bars on the windows and praying to God that they woke up and there weren't any bullet holes in the living room.
Telling it like it is, Todd, on this Tuesday.
You know what I would do? She says she's, so I guess the parents bought the house. If I were the parents, I would sell the house and evict their daughter. Evict the daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what?
Imagine that letter. Dear daughter.
I would just.
Kicking you out.
No, you don't have to do a dear daughter. Just get, like, somebody to serve papers. You know, get the sheriff and you go.
Keeping it real formal.
And then there would be another. This is a TikTok video. And then there'd be another TikTok video. My racist parents.
It'd be a whole saga.
I'm a transracial adoptee, and my racist white parents kicked me out of the house. You heard she's got a kid, too.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
It sounds to me like the white parents did a great disservice here because they spoiled their daughter.
Apparently.
They should have made her get out there and work, get a job, save money. You go live in an apartment or you live at home until you can save enough money to go buy your house, put the down payment on the house, yep. And then you become a good, productive member of society.
What a novel idea.
Instead, she's upset because her parents put her in a white, conservative neighborhood.
Also, lady, neighbors come and go. Like, I just want to say, like, they could have gotten a house, like, and there was different neighbors there, and then new neighbor. You can't just move every time there's a neighbor you don't like.
Here's my favorite part. So the neighbor is flying the Trump flag, and then she said, probably fly the Confederate flag.
That's what I thought. I was like, probably. Okay, either does or he isn't.
Right, look out the window. Good Lord. Unbelievable. All right, there you go. Moms, dads, don't buy your kids homes. Make them work for it, or at least make them pay rent. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Alright, folks, tomorrow we will have full analysis of whatever is happening in California right now, and let's just pray for a miracle. I mean, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but honest to goodness, I just can't imagine why anybody would want to have Gavin Newsom as governor of the state of California after what he's done to those people out there. Just terrible. By the way, Senator Rand Paul is grilling Antony Blinken. So yesterday was the House Foreign Relations Committee. Today, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Rand Paul going after Blinken. And so Paul got Blinken to admit they had no idea who they blew up on that drone strike. So now they originally told us that it was, you know, ISIS-K. Remember, they told us that that they had intercepted a terrorist that was about to launch an attack on the airport in Kabul. It turned out not to be true. It turned out to be a guy, his wife, and their seven children, and they were just blown to smithereens. But Blinken says we don't know who these people were. We just blew people up. So there you go. Very, very sad. Also, some sad news out of Hollywood. Norm Macdonald, who was one of the stars of Saturday Night Live back in the day, has passed away. He was 61 years old, had cancer, and of course he was the anchor for Weekend Update back when it was somewhat funny. But Norm Macdonald, he was one of these guys who was a pure comedian. He once wrote, and I want to read this to you, that a joke should catch someone by surprise, but it should never pander, and he never did pander, and he is going to be missed. He was sort of that Jay Leno of the Jay Leno style of comedian back in the day. So, and I know, Grace, you guys, that's not your generation of comedians.
No.
But, man, they were some funny, funny guys.
Oh, I'm sure, because they felt like they could probably say whatever they want without getting canceled.
And that, well, yeah. And, I mean, almost, you know, Seinfeld is sort of in that orbit.
I've watched that whole series. So
I would say. Yeah, what did you think?
I liked it. It wasn't my favorite ever, but I liked it.
Look, back in the 80s, and that was it. Did you watch Seinfeld last night?
Man.
What did Jerry say?
I know it was super popular.
Oh,
hugely. I wanted to watch it.
It was one of those sitcoms that really did change the way people thought of sitcoms and produced sitcoms.
I could see that, definitely.
And it really was a show about nothing.
It really was.
That was the brilliant.
I do like that.
That was
the ending was kind of lame, but I won't get into that.
Yeah, that was true. That was a lame ending.
I was really disappointed.
Just going to say. But anyway, Norm Macdonald passing away of cancer. He was 61 years old. All right, folks, tonight on ToddStarnes.com, we're going to be providing you with live up-to-the-minute news and information, not only about the election, but also about the hurricane. A lot of folks out there, listeners, you guys are in harm's way. Be careful. Pay attention to your radios, and we're going to get you through this. Be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.